When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
And now, without further ado, let's begin.
I was on a mission. After everything that has happened, I was out for blood. I did not have a lot to go on. A cryptic history of nightmarish proportions and a homeless man. That was it. I felt like I was flying blind here, but at least I was still flying. After leaving my house, Bumbo never left me. As I drove here, he was in the back seat, grinning his creepy large grin, sitting in the back seat as if it was perfectly normal. He would then be in other people's cars, waving at me, or mock-killing the driver or riders. He would not leave me alone. He didn't attack me, though. I don't know why. He had every chance in the world, and based on what I saw in my living room, he had the ability to. It was an agonizingly long drive to the town where I got the tapes, Bumbo enjoying his mental torture the entire time. By the time I pulled up to the first place I was going to check, he was in the back seat laughing at me. I could not hear him. Thank God for small miracles. But you could tell he was having the time of his life. Let him laugh for now. I was coming for him. My first destination was the public library. The town's library was a common gathering place for the town's homeless. It was warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and had a large gazebo on the property that made a dry place to sleep during a storm. It had just started to sprinkle, the sky a darkening gray from the clouds and the approaching night. There was already two people in the gazebo. They had curled up next to a large barrel on fire for warmth. One was very dirty and shaggy-looking old man. He had a long white beard and it was caked with the dirt and grime from his hard life. The other was actually kind of attractive redhead young woman. It looked like she hadn't been homeless very long, but she gave deference to the old man. So I got the impression, without any words, needing spoken, he was looking out for her. The streets could not be the safest place for a young woman, I guessed. Excuse me? I walked up to them, hands out, in a gesture showing I was unarmed.
Yeah? What do you need, son?
The man responded to me. His voice was deep, expressed his age with it, but had kindness in it. It had a weird way of putting me at ease as he spoke. A little. I am looking for someone. Have you seen this man? I held out my phone with the picture of the homeless man I was searching for opened and on the screen. He examined the picture, then spit off into the distance, making it off the gazebo into the bushes nearby.
Yeah, I might. Why are you looking for him?
He stared at me with an intense glare over the fire barrel. The light from the fire and the surrounding shadows gave him a sinister appearance. Part of me wanted to just run away. I was worried either Bumbo would find a way to attack them because of me, or was already affecting him. I did not know how far his reach had gone, but since it was a homeless man that dropped off the tapes originally, it was still possible others weren't in league with him. Fighting that instinct with memories of Justin and the Bumbo that came out of my television, I pushed past the fear to go on with the conversation. He dropped off some tapes to a thrift store a while ago, and I was trying to find out where they came from. It's really important to my kid brother I find out more about them. He is a huge Bumbo fan now. I said the last with some obvious regret in my voice. Something in the old man softened when I told him that. He had a knowing look then, as if he knew exactly what I was actually meaning.
Those tapes, huh? Yeah, I told Abe he needed to destroy those damn things. He was always carting them around. He never let us watch them, though, even when we were able to borrow a TV and VCR at the library. He would always freak out and hide them, saying it was too dangerous. Never did know why he was so scared of us watching them. We wouldn't steal from one of our own.
he said, giving a sad glance to his younger ward.
Tell you what, son. Have a seat.
He patted the wooden bench of the gazebo.
Let's have a chat. Abe will likely be coming by at some point. With this coming storm, he will be here soon enough. Not many other places around for us to go during times like this.
I took a seat at the bench with him, and after a bit of surprisingly comfortable silence, he started again.
Never did catch your name, son. I'm Festus, though everyone around here just calls me Santa.
He reached out his hand to shake. Nice to meet you, Santa. My name's Edward. We grasped hands and shook a few times and then parted. He reached over and placed his hand on the girl's shoulder.
This is Emmy. She's like my grandkid. I knew her parents before I left the civilized world for this paradise.
He said with her sarcastic tone.
After her parents died, she didn't have anywhere else to go. The streets are not the safest place. But with old Sano.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Watching out for her. No one messes with her. You'd be surprised, Eddie. We don't have much out here, but we have family. And that's all we need.
I nodded in silence, not exactly sure what to say, or why he was so free with such personal information. He was in the reflection of the library's windows. Oddly, he looked strangely calm in that window. He didn't make the threatening gestures or actions like he did on the ride here. And he just stood staring at me, no smile on his face, just a cold indifference. If I did not know better, I would have said he looked more like one of those window cutouts places used for decoration, more than a demonic mouse spirit that possessed my brother and tried to kill me. I did know better, though, and I was not sure what he was planning, but his calmness scared me more than anything else has. It still does. I did not know why then, and now I really wish I didn't know. Emmy sat silent still, staring at the fire with a detached look on her face, as if she was not here with us. She had to be over 18, since she was here on the streets instead of with the state as a minor would be. I didn't know how much older than 18 she was, but I will not lie, she was seriously cute. Even despite the crusted, dirty clothes, matted hair, and soil-splotched face, I could tell. I felt completely sorry for that girl. It was obvious the loss of her parents still affected her. I could empathize.
Her parents haven't been gone long.
Santa interrupted the silence, looking over at Emmy with a pained look.
It's only been a few months. They didn't leave anything for her, and the bank didn't much care about kicking a barely 18 young lady on the street to fend for herself. It's disgusting, is what it is. I knew her dad from our old military days. Even despite my glamorous lifestyle, I would still always have a warm meal and couch at their place when I needed it. They offered me a room there, but I would not hear of it. I ain't no charity case. So, when I found out about their accident and found Emmy out on the street with nothing but the clothes on her back, I took her in. Been making sure she's fed and safe. I owe her dad that much.
I was honestly surprised. Despite having so little, he still gave freely to this girl he had no obligation to. It was honestly touching. I honestly doubted I knew anyone else that would do this sort of thing. I didn't even know if I would have for anyone but Justin. The image of him chasing down his favorite ball and tossing it back to me came to mind. He was so important to me. And this is what he got for me caring about him. I had to make this right.
Your kid brother watched his tapes, didn't he?
Santa interrupted the silence again. I nodded, unable to speak at that moment.
I knew someday someone else would suffer because of those damn tapes. Abe used to tell us about them. About Bumbo. About where he came from. Fucking disgusting. What they did to those kids down there. Hope that Nazi son of a bitch rots in hell for it.
He spat again, more in disgust than necessity that time.
He always spoke about that mouse with fear and paranoia. He never was right in the head, at least since I knew him. But he was worse when he mentioned those tapes, or that damn mouse. He would often hide them, or repeatedly pat his bag to make sure they were still there. It was like he was scared of losing them, but was also scared of having them. Never could make much sense of it.
He spit again off into the bushes.
He told me he saw Bumbo everywhere in the windows, that he was always watching him, stalking him. I thought it was all in his head. We all have our demons and skeletons in our closets. Until he woke up one day, cuts all around his face, and broken glass all around him, that is. It was then I started trying to convince him to get rid of them.
You mean Bumbo attacked him too? I asked.
Yep. Apparently, one night, that mouse attacked. Didn't kill him, but cut his face up pretty mean. Had hoped getting rid of those tapes might help. You know, there's always stories of ghosts and demons haunting objects. Thought this was one of those things. He couldn't burn him, though. He was in complete fear when it was brought up. I finally convinced him to throw them out, at least.
He said, holding his hands out to the fire for warmth. It was starting to rain harder now, and the clack of thunder rolled off over in the distance. The setting was getting darker and darker every minute. It was like the darkness was creeping in on us, and only the light of this fire kept its inky tendrils from grabbing us and swallowing us into that inky abyss. I shuddered a bit, to myself, fear again settling in. I could not see Bumbo anymore. It was too dark to see the windows clearly now. I knew he was there, though. Somehow, I knew. A flash of lightning lit the area for a second, and there, where the window was a figure. It was moving towards us slowly.
That'll be Abe. About time, Abe.
He shouted out the last part. There was no response, though, just the sound of heavy rain and an approaching raspy breathing.
Abe, you okay, brother?
Santa called out again, concern rising in his tone.
My God, what happened?
He called out as he stood up and started to move over to him. He made it a few steps before the figure came into the light. It was the same man I saw in the surveillance video, but something was different. He had a distinct look in his eyes, and they were milky white. He just stared forward, like he didn't see us. He was bleeding heavily, his face cut up, and blood dripped down from his hands. The cause of the cuts was there in one of his hands. It was a large shard of broken mirror, easily bigger than your average pocket knife, and he just clenched it, apparently ignorant of the pain, or the blood flowing freely from his hand. He cocked his head to the side in a bone-chilling familiar way, before he lunged with the shard of glass and slit Santa's throat in a quick movement. Santa didn't even have time to recognize what was happening before he was on the ground, sputtering blood. Emmy screamed. Apparently the attack had shook her from her grief-caused fugue. She started to run towards Santa, but I reached out and kept her back, pushing her behind me defensively. I reached into my pocket and pulled out my pocket knife. I should have pulled out my gun, but I didn't know if I could save him somehow. This would have been a good test to see if I could save Justin and the rest of my family from Bumbo's influence. He stared straight at me, with milky white eyes. He kept his head cocked to the side with an all-too-familiar grin on his face. For what seemed like an eternity, he just stared at me, didn't move, aside from a spastic twitch in an arm or his free hand or a tick in his face here or there. He looked as if he was studying me, or taking in the terror from the scene and feeding off it. He cocked his head to the other side and then spoke. "What's the matter, Eddie? You didn't think I could hurt you, since I didn't through the glass?" He chuckled a little. "I have always been able to hurt you, always been able to get you, and it's just been more fun to play with you. Your brother is still waiting for you, Ed, waiting for you to come help him. He's here with me, crying, scared." He smiled wider, the lips of the homeless man splitting at the corners from strain. He spoke out again, but with a more familiar voice. "Bubba, please come, I'm scared." Justin's voice. He was speaking in Justin's voice. No hint of his or the homeless man's voice, purely Justin's. My innocent little brother's voice with his W's instead of R's. It was unquestionably my little brother's voice. "It's dark. It's scary. Everything hurts. Bubba, please make it stop, please." He cried out louder. His fear and pain echoed through his words. Tears formed in my eyes. My heart felt like it was breaking inside my chest. My God, Justin did not deserve this. He didn't deserve anything like this. "Let him go. I screamed out at him, more pain than anger at the moment. He's just a child. If you want someone so bad, come take me. I'll trade you, me, for my family. He looked genuinely surprised for a moment. Then his smile grew even wider, growing the stress tears in the homeless man's cheeks. He made a tisk-tisk sound while shaking his head side to side. Ed, don't you know? Cartoons are for kids. Take Abe here, or Abel as he was called before. I've been with him for years, decades, ever since he was a child. He has always belonged to me, as Justin does now. Your other family members, they're dead. I can just make them look alive, act like it for everyone else. Can make them my puppets, my toys. They were useless to me, so I threw their souls out of their bodies and into hell. I am sure they are enjoying their damnation down there. What is the best part of all this is it's because you put them there. He let out a laugh in his demonic voice. It sent chills up my spine, and I felt my heart beat in my head. Heard it in my ears. I was terrified. Something about his voice sent fear coursing through me. It was all I could do to stand there looking at him. They are waiting for you too, Eddie boy, so let's not keep them waiting any longer, huh? His movements were stiff, reminding me of a marionette puppet on strings. He walked slowly towards me in jittery, spastic movements. I walked out to meet him, giving space between Emmy and myself, along with a possessed former friend of hers. He lashed out with a shard of glass aimed at my throat. I barely had time to get my arm up to protect it, and the glass sliced through my left forearm, spraying a bit of blood after it in a stream. Emmy screamed and took off away from the gazebo into the storm. Good. I could not keep watching her anymore with this right now. I didn't honestly know if I was going to make it through this. I could not worry about that, though. He lashed out again, and this time I was able to jump back before the razor shard glass sliced through me. As soon as I landed on my feet, I jumped forward, tackling the man to the ground. As we landed, he sank the shard into my shoulder. It hurt like all hell, but now I started to get adrenaline flowing in me. And with that and the anger that had been festering in me since all this started, I was able to push the pain out of my mind. He stabbed the shard into me again, and this time a little higher on my shoulder. I honestly didn't even feel it that time. As he moved his hand again to stab down, I reached out and pinned it to the ground. I pinned his head down to the ground with my other arm. I still had my knife in the hand of the arm I was using to pin his neck to the ground, and I was fighting the urge to slit his neck and end this, and hopefully Bumbo too. "Give me my brother back," I yelled and slammed my forehead into the man's face, breaking his nose. He looked up at me, still grinning the far too big of grin for his face, and blood trailed down from his broken nose. "He is mine. He is always mine now. I will need a new shell after this one passes, and he will do just fine." He laughed while we struggled there. I slammed my head back down into his face to silence his laugh, and it just altered the laugh. My headbutt had broken a few teeth in his mouth, since he was still grinning with all his brown, rotten teeth out to the world. It was then I knew I could not save him. I could not get Bumbo's claws out of this man's mind. He was too long gone if he could ignore everything that was happening now. He looked up at me with his milky white eyes and smiled one last time, before he stuck out his tongue and bit it off. As he did, the milky white eyes regained their brown color. He looked panic, and pure fear radiated from his eyes, before he passed away from either blood loss or suffocation on his own blood. That look of fear still etched on his face. There wasn't anything I could do for him. Nothing I could have done to save him, and that realization hit me like a punch to the gut. What about Justin? Was there still time for him? I could see Bumbo in that shard of mirror that now fell to the ground. He was laughing at me, at the man he killed so carelessly. I stood up, staring at Bumbo the entire time in that blood-covered shard. With a scream, more in frustration and anger at myself than at the demon inside, and smashed my foot into it. It shattered beneath my heel, and as it did, the windows of the library shattered, spraying chunks of thick safety glass out into the courtyard of the library. A loud demonic roar erupted from shattering glass as it flew through the air. I covered my face with my hands and ducked down to the ground as thick chunks of glass rained down on me. After what seemed like forever, the rain of glass stopped, and the roar stopped. I rose up to my feet, shaking off the chunks of glass best I could. Somehow I escaped all that with a few small cuts to my arms. I was in a bit of shock, looking around, confused, but snapped out of it quickly as Emmy ran over to me. "What the hell was that?" she asked, speaking out for the first time. That was Bumbo. I responded with a heavy sigh, still brushing glass shards off my shirt. "He killed Festus. He killed Abe. My God, why?" Why did all of my family have to be taken from me? She broke out in tears and sat on the ground, pulling her legs to her chest and wrapping her legs around them. She sobbed for some time, and I didn't interrupt her. I honestly didn't know what to say to her. She had lost her parents, and now had lost her second family. This time, because of me. Because of Bumbo. Look, we can't stay here. Someone had to hear all that glass shattering, if not the roar. They will call the cops if someone hasn't already. I can't offer much, but you're welcome to sleep on my bed. I'll take the couch. I have warm food and you're welcome to shower too. And I know I have spare clothes from an ex somewhere. She looked up at me, and despite the tears and pain on her face, her eyes had a determined look to them. Are you going after him? She said, then rubbed her nose against her sleeve. Yeah, I have to. My brother is still being possessed by him, and I still have to figure out how to save him and kill that cartoon. She nodded, then said, I'm going with you. I must have still been in some state of shock from the fight, because all I could say is, what? She stood up and stared at me, wiping the tears from her eyes. He killed the only family I have left. I have nothing left. I have no one. I want to make that mouse pay, she said defiantly, stamping her foot to the ground to emphasize her point. I started to object, but had a feeling no matter what I said, I was going to lose this argument. Instead of saying no like I wanted to, like I should have, like my mind was screaming out in my head, I said, okay, but first we get a shower, some food, and rest. I am really beat. We walked over to my car, glass crunching beneath our shoes as we did. I pulled out from the library parking lot and drove back to my apartment. Surprisingly, the entire trip I did not see Bumbo. Not once.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.